would he come here? What would be the difference to him between a building that was morally and spiritually vacant and one that was just plain empty?
Professor, you a theologian here, and I didn't even know it.
You're being facetious.
I don't know that word. Don't be afraid to talk down to me. You ain't going to hurt my feelings.
It means... I guess it means that you're not being sincere, that you don't mean what you're saying in a cynical sort of way.
You think I don't mean what I'm saying?
Sometimes. I think you say things for effect.
Well, let me say this for effect.
Go ahead.
Suppose I was to tell you that if you could bring yourself to unlatch your hands from around your brother's throat, you could have life everlasting.
There's no such thing. Everybody dies.
That ain't what he said. He said you could have life everlasting. Life. Have it today. Hold it in your hand that you could see it. It gives off a light. It's got a little weight to it. Not much. Warm to the touch. Just a little. And it's forever. And you can have it now. Today. But you don't want it. You don't want it because to get it, you got to let your brother off the hook. You got to actually take him and hold him in your arms. And it don't make no difference what color he is or what he smells like or even if he don't want to be held. And the reason you won't do it is because he don't deserve it. And about that, there ain't no argument. He don't deserve it. You won't do it because it ain't just. Ain't that so? Ain't it?
I don't believe in those sorts of things.
Just answer the question, Professor.
I don't think in those terms.
I know you don't. Answer the question.
I suppose there's some truth in what you say.
But that's all I'm going to get.
Yes.
Well, that's all right. I'll take it. Some is a lot. We're down to breadcrumbs here.
I really have to go.
Just stay. Just a little. We could talk about something else. You like baseball? Tell you what, why don't I fix us something to eat?
I'm not hungry.
How about some coffee then?
All right, but then I've got to go.
All right. The man says all right.
He runs water in the kettle at the sink and pours the water into the percolator.
You see, I wouldn't be this rude under normal circumstances. Man come in my house and set at my table and me not offer him nothing. But with you, I figure I got to strategize. Got to play my cards right. Keep you from slipping off into the night.
It's not night.
Depends on what kind of night we talking about.
He spoons coffee from a can into the percolator and plugs the percolator in.
Let me ask you kind of a personal question.
This will be good.
What do you think is wrong with you that has finally narrowed all your choices down to the sunset limit?
I don't think there's anything wrong with me. I think I've just been driven to finally face the truth. If I'm different, it doesn't mean I'm crazy.
Different.
Yes.
Different from who?
From anybody.
What about them other folks trying to off theyselves?
What about them?
Well, maybe them is the folks you was like. Maybe them folks is your natural kin, only you all just don't get together all that much.
I don't think so.
Don't think so?
No. I've been in group therapy with those people. I never found anyone there that I felt any kinship with.
What about them other professors? They ain't no kinship there?
Good God.
I'm going to take that for a no.
I loathe them, and they loathe me.
Well, now, wait a minute. Just because you don't like them don't mean you ain't like them. What was that word? Loathe?
Loathe.
That's a pretty powerful word, ain't it?
Not powerful enough, I'm afraid.
So how come you be loathing these other professors?
I know what you're thinking.
What am I thinking?
You're thinking that I loathe them because I'm like them and I loathe myself.
Damn, Professor. If I had your brains, ain't no telling what all I might have done. I'd have been a drug king or something. Ride round in a Rolls Royce.
You're being facetious again.
No, I ain't. It wasn't the first time. Let me ask you this.
All right.
Is you on any kind of medication?
No.
They ain't got no medication for pilgrims waiting to take the sunset?
For suicidal depression.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. I've tried them.
And what happened?
Nothing happened.
You didn't get no relief?
No, I think the coffee's percolated.
I know. Does these drugs work for most folks?
Yes, for most.
But not for you?
Not for me, no.
And what do you make of that?
I don't know. What am I supposed to make of it?
I don't know, Professor. I'm just trying to find you some constituents out there somewhere.
Constituents?
Yeah. You like that?
Is that a word they use on the streets?
Nah. I learned that word in a jailhouse. You pick up stuff from these jailhouse lawyers and then it gets used around. Be talking about your constituents, some other cat's constituents, your wife's constituents. You use cream and sugar?
No, just black.
Just black.
Why do I have to have constituents?
I ain't said you got to. I just wondered if maybe you do and we just ain't looked hard enough.
He brings the percolator and the cups to the table and pours.
They could be out there. Maybe there's some other drug-proof terminal commuters out there that could be your friend.
Terminal commuters?
Got a nice sound to it, ain't it?
It's all right.
Nobody.
Nobody. No. I'm not a member. I never wanted to be. I never was.
Not a member?
No.
Well, sometimes people don't know what they want till they get it.
Maybe, but I think they know what they don't want.
I don't know, Professor. I try and go by what I see. The simplest things has got more to them than you can ever understand. A bunch of people standing around on a train platform of a morning, waiting to go to work. Been there 100 times, 1,000 maybe. It's just a train platform. Ain't nothing else much you can say about it. But there might be one commuter waiting there on the edge of that platform that for him is something else. It might even be the edge of the world, the edge of the universe. He's staring at the end of all tomorrows and he's drawing a shade over every yesterday that ever was. So he's a different kind of commuter. He's worlds away from them everyday travelers. Nothing to do with them at all. Well, is that right?
I don't know.
I know you don't. Bless your heart. I know you don't.
They sip their coffee.
You ride that subway every day, Professor?
Yes.
What do you think about them people?
On the subway?
On the subway.
I try not to think about them at all.
You ever speak to any of them?
Speak to them?
Yeah.
About what?
About anything.
No, God, no.
God, no?
Yes, God, no.
You ever curse them?
Curse them?
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. Do you?
No, of course not.
I mean, where they can't hear it.
What do you mean?
Maybe just under your breath, in your heart, to yourself.
Because?
I don't know. Maybe they just in your way, or you don't like the way they look, the way they smell, what they doing.
And I would mutter something ugly under my breath.
Yeah.
I suppose.
And how often do you reckon you might do that?
You really don't get to interrogate me, you know?
I know. How often?
I don't know. With some frequency, probably.
Give me a number.
A number?
Yeah, say just on an average day.
I've no idea.
Sure you do.
A number.
I'm a number man.
2 or 3 times a day, I would guess, something like that, maybe.
Could be more.
Oh, yes.
Could be 5.
Probably.
10?
That might be a bit high.
But we can go with 5. That's safe.
Yes.
That's 1825. Can we round that off to 2 grand?
What's that, per year?
Yeah.
2,000? That's a lot.
Yes, it is. But is it accurate?
I suppose. So?
So, I ain't going to guess your age. But let me put you on the low side and say times 20 years of commuting, and now we got 40,000 curses heaped on the heads of folks you don't even know.
So where's this going?
I just wondered if you ever thought about that. If it might have anything to do with the shape you was managed to get yourself in.
It's just symptomatic of the larger issues. I don't like people.
But you wouldn't hurt them people.
No, of course not.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. Why would I hurt them?
I don't know. Why would you hurt yourself?
It's not the same thing.
You sure about that?
I'm not them and they're not me. I think I know the difference.
Mm.
More mms.
You sure you ain't hungry?
No.
You ain't eat nothing?
That's all right.
I see you eyeing the door. I gotta strategize, you know.
I'm really not hungry.
Active morning like you had? You ain't worked up no appetite?
No.
I see you looking around. Everything in here is clean. No, don't say nothing. It's all right.
The black pushes back his chair and rises.
I could eat a bite, and I think you could, too.
The black goes to the refrigerator and takes out some pots. He turns on the stove, he washes his hands and dries them with a towel.
You break bread with the man, you have moved on to another level of friendship. I heard somewheres that that's true the world over.
Probably.
I like probably. Probably from you is worth a couple of damn rights anywhere else.
Why? Because I don't believe in anything.
Well, I don't think that's the problem. I think it's what you do believe that is carrying you off, not what you don't. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
You ever think about Jesus?
Here we go.
Do you?
What makes you think I'm not Jewish?
What, Jews ain't allowed to think about Jesus?
No, but they might think about him differently.
Is you Jewish?
No, as it happens, I'm not.
Phew, you had me worried there for a minute.
What, you don't like Jews?
Pulling your chain, Professor. Pulling your chain. I don't know why I love to mess with you, but I do. You need to listen. Or you need to believe what you're hearing. The whole point of where this is going, which you wanted to know, is that there ain't no Jews. Ain't no whites. Ain't no niggas. People of color. Ain't none of that. At the deep bottom of the mine where the gold is at, there ain't none of that. There's just the pure ore. That forever thing. That you don't think is there. That thing that helps to keep folks nailed down to the platform when the Sunset Limited comes through. Even when they think they might want to get aboard. That thing that makes it possible to ladle out benediction upon the heads of strangers instead of curses. It's all the same thing. And it ain't but one thing. Just one.
And that would be Jesus.
Got to think about how to answer that. Maybe one more heresy won't hurt you. You're pretty loaded up on them already. Here's what I would say. I would say that the thing we are talking about is Jesus, but it is Jesus understood as the gold at the bottom of the mine. He couldn't come down here and take the form of a man if that form was not done shaped to accommodate him. And if I said that there ain't no way for Jesus to be ever man without ever man being Jesus, then I believe that might be a pretty big heresy. But that's all right. It ain't as big a heresy as saying that a man ain't all that much different from a rock, which is how your view looks to me.
It's not my view. I believe in the primacy of the intellect.
What is that word?
Primacy? It means first. It means what you put first.
And that would be intellect?
Yes.
What about the primacy of the Sunset Limited?
Yes, that too.
But not the primacy of all them folks waiting on a later train.
No. No primacy there. What?
You tough, Professor. You tough.
The black rises and goes to the stove. He reaches down plates and stirs the pots and ladles out the dinner. He takes down a loaf of white bread and puts four slices on a plate and brings the plate of bread to the table and sets it down.
Yeah, you tough.
The black brings the two plates to the table and sets them out and takes his seat. He looks at the professor.
You see yourself as a questioner, Professor. But about that, I got my doubts. Even so, the quest of your life is your quest. You on a road that you laid. And that fact alone might be all the reason you need for keeping to it. As long as you're on that road, you can't be lost.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, Professor, I've got some very serious doubts about you not understanding anything I say. Now, I'm going to say grace.
The black puts his hands on the table at either side of his plate and bows his head.
Lord, we thank you for this food, and we ask that you keep us ever mindful of the many blessings we have received from your hand. We thank you today for the life of the professor, that you have returned to us, and we ask that you continue to look after him because we need him. I ain't sure why we need him. I just know we do. Amen.
The black looks up. He smiles at the professor.
All right. You tell me if you like this.
It looks good.
They begin to eat.
This is good.
They eat.
This is very good.
Supposed to be good. This is soul food, my man.
It's got what in it, molasses?
You a chef, Professor?
Not really.
But some.
Some, yes. Bananas, of course. Mangoes?
Got a mango or two in there. Rutabagas.
Rutabagas.
Rutabagas. Them ain't easy to find.
It's very good.
It gets better after a day or two. I just fixed this last night. You need to warm it up a few times to get the flavors right.
Like chili.
Like chili, that's right. You know where I learned to fix this?
In Louisiana?
Right here in the ghettos of New York City. There's a lot of influences in a dish like this. You got many parts of the world in that pot yonder. Different countries, different people.
Any white people?
Not if you can help it.
Really?
Messing with you, Professor. Messing with you. You know these French chefs in these uptown restaurants?
Not personally.
You know what they like to cook?
No.
Sweetbreads, tripe, brains, all that shit they don't know about to eat. You know why that is?
Because it's a challenge. You have to innovate.
You're pretty smart for a cracker. A challenge. That's right. The stuff they cook is dead cheap. Most folks throw it out. Give it to the cat. But poor folks don't throw nothing out.
I guess that's right.
It don't take a lot of skill to make a porterhouse steak taste good. But what if you can't buy no porterhouse steak? You still wants to eat something that tastes good? What do you do then?
Innovate.
Innovate. That's right, Professor. And when do you innovate?
When you don't have something that you want.
You're fixing to get an A+. So who would that be that ain't got what they want?
Poor people.
I love this man. So how you like this?
It's very good.
Well, let me have your plate.
Just a small portion.
That's all right, Professor. You need to eat. You done had yourself a pretty busy day.
The black puts more of the dish on the professor's plate and comes to the table and sets it in front of him.
You want some more coffee?
Yes. That would be great.
He brings the pot to the table and pours his cup and sets the pot on the table and takes his seat, and they continue to eat.
You don't think a glass of wine would have been good with this?
Oh, no, I think it might have been good.
But you wouldn't drink it.
Oh, I might. One glass.
Jesus drank wine, he and his disciples.
Yes, he did, according to the Bible. Of course, it don't say nothing about him hiding it in a toilet.
Is that really a favorite hiding place?
Oh, yes. I've known drunks to lift the tops off toilet tanks in strange places, just on the off chance.
Is that true?
No. It could be, though. Wouldn't surprise me none.
What is the worst thing you ever did?
More jailhouse stories.
Why not?
Which why not you want to hear?
Is bludgeoning the man in the prison cafeteria the worst thing you ever did?
No. It ain't.
Really? What's the worst?
I ain't gonna tell you.
Why not?
Because you jump up and run out the door hollering.
It must be pretty bad.
It is pretty bad. That's why I ain't telling you.
Now I'm afraid to ask.
No, you ain't.
Have you ever told anyone?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't leave me alone. The soul might be silent, but the servant of the soul has always got a voice, and it has got one for a reason. The life of the master depends on the servant, and this is one master that has got to be sustained. Got to be sustained.
Who did you tell it to?
I told it to a man of God who was my friend.
What did he say?
He didn't say a word.
But you're not curious about the worst thing I ever did.
Yeah, I am.
But you won't ask me what it is.
Don't have to.
Why is that?
Because I was there and I seen it.
Well, I might have a different view.
Yeah, you might. You want some more?
No, I'm stuffed.
Hungrier than you thought.
Yes, I was.
Good.
Is this some kind of a test of your faith?
What? You?
Me. Yes.
No, Professor. It ain't my faith you're testing.
You see everything in black and white.
It is black and white.
I suppose that makes the world easier to understand.
You might be surprised about how little time I spend trying to understand the world.
You try to understand God.
No, I don't. I just try and understand what he wants from me.
And that is everything you need.
If God ain't everything you need, you in a world of trouble. And if what you're saying is that my view of the world is a narrow one, I don't disagree with that. Of course, I could point out that I ain't down on the platform in my leaping costume.
You could.
A lot of things is beyond my understanding. I know that. I say it again. If it ain't in this book, then there's a good chance that I don't know it. Before I started reading the Bible, I was pretty much in that primacy thing myself.
Primacy thing?
Yeah, not as bad as you, but pretty bad. I was pretty dumb, but I wasn't dumb enough to believe that what had got me nowheres in 40 years was all of a sudden going to get me somewheres. I was dumb, but I wasn't that dumb. I seen what there was for the asking, and I decided to ask, and that's all I done. And it was hard. I tell you right now, Professor, it was hard. I was laying there all cut up and chained to that hospital bed, and I was crying. I hurt so bad, and I thought they'd kill me if I did live, and I tried to say it, and tried to say it, and after a while, I just quit. I put all that away from me, and I just said it. I said, please help me. And he did.
They sit.
Long silence.
It's just a silence.
Well, that's my story, Professor. It's easy told. I don't make a move without Jesus. When I get up in the morning, I just try to get a hold of his belt. Oh, every once in a while, I catch myself slipping into manual override, but I catch myself. I catch myself.
Annual override?
You like that?
It's okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
So you come to the end of your rope and you admit defeat and you are in despair, and in this state you seize upon this whatever it is that has neither substance nor sense, and you grab hold of it and hang on for dear life. Is that a fair portrayal?
Well, that could be one way to say it.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I thought when we was talking earlier, I heard you to say there wasn't none of it made no sense. Talking about the history of the world and all such as that.
It doesn't, on a larger scale. But what you're telling me isn't a view of things. It's a view of one thing. And I find it nonsensical.
What would you do if Jesus was to speak to you?
Why, do you imagine he might?
No, I don't. But I don't know.
I'm not virtuous enough.
No, Professor, it ain't nothing like that. You don't have to be virtuous. It just has to be quiet. I can't speak for the Lord, but the experience I've had leads me to believe that he'll speak to anybody that'll listen. You damn sure ain't got to be virtuous.
Well, if I heard God talking to me, then I'd be ready for you to take me up to Bellevue, as you suggested.
What if what he said made sense?
It wouldn't make any difference. Craziness is craziness.
Don't make no difference if it makes sense?
No.
Well, that's about as bad a case of the primacy as I ever heard.
Well, I've always gone my own way. Ich kann nicht anders.
What is that you talking?
It's German.
You talk German?
Not really, a little. It's a quotation.
Didn't do them Germans much good, though, did it?
I don't know. The Germans contributed a great deal to civilization. Before Hitler.
And then they contributed Hitler.
If you like.
Was none of my doing.
I gather it to be your belief that culture tends to contribute to human misery. That the more one knows, the more unhappy one is likely to be.
As in the case of certain parties known to us.
As in the case.
I don't believe I said that. In fact, I think maybe you said it.
I never said it.
But do you believe it?
No.
No?
I don't know. It could be true.
Well, why is that? It don't seem right, does it?
It's the first thing in that book there. The Garden of Eden. Knowledge is destructive to the spirit, destructive to goodness.
I thought you ain't read this book.
Everyone knows that story. It's probably the most famous story in there.
So why do you think that is?
I suppose from the God point of view, all knowledge is vanity, or maybe it gives people the unhealthy illusion that they can outwit the devil.
Damn, Professor. Where was you when I needed you?
You better be careful. You see where it's gotten me.
I do see. It's the subject at hand.
The darker picture is always the correct one. When you read the history of the world, you are reading a saga of bloodshed and greed and folly, the import of which is impossible to ignore, and yet we imagine that the future will somehow be different. I've no idea why we are even still here, but in all probability, we will not be here much longer.
Them are some pretty powerful words, Professor. That's what's in your heart, ain't it?
Yes.
Well, I can relate to them thoughts.
You can?
Yes, I can.
That surprises me. What, you're going to think about them?
I done have thought about them. I thought about them for a long time. Not as good as you said it, but pretty close.
Well, you surprised me. And you've come to what conclusions?
I ain't. I'm still thinking.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Things can change.
No, they can't.
You could be wrong.
I don't think so.
But that ain't something you have a lot of in your life.
What isn't?
Being wrong.
I admit it when I'm wrong.
I don't think so.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
The black leans back and regards the professor. He reaches and picks up the newspaper from the table and leans back again and adjusts his glasses.
Let's see here. Story on page 3.
He folds the paper elaborately.
Yeah, here it is. Friends report that the man had ignored all advice and had stated that he intended to pursue his own course.
He adjusts his glasses.
A close confidant stated, and this here is a quotation, said, "You couldn't tell the son of a bitch nothing." Can you say that in the papers? Son of a bitch? Meanwhile, blood-spattered spectators at the 155th Street station, continued on page 4.
He wets his thumb and laboriously turns the page and refolds the paper.
Who were interviewed at the scene all reported that the man's last words as he hurtled toward the oncoming commuter train were, "I am right."
He lays down the paper and adjusts his spectacles and peers over the top of them at the professor.
Very funny.
The black takes off his glasses and lowers his head and pinches the bridge of his nose and shakes his head.
Oh, Professor. You an amazing man.
I'm glad you find me entertaining.
Well, you pretty special.
I don't think I'm special.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You don't think you might view them other commuters from a certain height?
I view those other commuters as fellow occupants of the same abyssal pit in which I find myself. If they see it as something else, I don't know how that makes me special.
I hear what you're saying. But still, I keep coming back to them commuters. Them that's waiting on the sunset. I got to think maybe they could be just a little bit special themselves. I mean, they got to be in a deeper pit than just us day travelers. A deeper and a darker. I ain't saying they down as deep as you, but pretty deep maybe.
So?
How come they can't be your brothers in despair and self-destruction? I thought misery loved company.
I'm sure I don't know.
Well, let me take a shot at it.
Be my guest.
What I think is that you got better reasons than them. I mean, their reasons is just that they don't like it here. But yours says what they is not to like and why not to like it. You got more intelligent reasons. More elegant reasons.
Are you making fun of me?
No. I ain't.
But you think I'm full of shit?
I don't think that. Oh, I don't doubt but what it's possible to die from being full of shit. But I don't think that's what we're looking at here.
What do you think we're looking at?
I don't know. You got me on unfamiliar ground. You got these elegant world-class reasons for taking the limited, and these other dudes, all they got is maybe they just don't feel good. In fact, it might could be that you ain't even all that unhappy.
You think that my education is driving me to suicide?
Well, no. I'm just posing the question. Wait a minute for your answer.
He takes his pad and his pencil and begins to write laboriously, his tongue in the corner of his mouth, grimacing. This for the professor's benefit. He looks sideways at him and smiles. He tears off the page and folds it and puts it in his shirt pocket.
All right. Go ahead.
I think that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
The black takes the folded paper from his pocket and hands it across. The professor opens it and reads it aloud.
I think that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Very clever. What's the point?
The point don't change. The point is always the same point. It's what I said before and what I keep looking for ways to say again. The light is all around you. Except you don't see nothing but shadow. And the shadow is you. You're the one making it.
Well, I don't have your faith. Why don't we just leave it at that?
You don't never think about maybe just starting over?
I did. At one time, I don't anymore.
Sometimes faith might just be a case of not having nothing else left.
Well, I do have something else.
Maybe you could just keep that in reserve. Maybe just take a shot at starting over. I don't mean start again. Everybody's done that. Over means over. It means you just walk away. I mean, if everything you are and everything you have and everything you have done has brought you at last to the bottom of a whiskey bottle or bought you a one-way ticket on the Sunset Limited, then you can't give me the first reason on God's earth for salvaging none of it. 'Cause there ain't no reason. And I'm going to tell you that if you can bring yourself to shut the door on all of that, it will be cold and it will be lonely and there'll be a mean wind blowing. And them is all good signs. You don't say nothing. You just turn up your collar and keep walking.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
You want some more coffee?
No. Thank you.
Why do you think folks take their own lives?
I don't know. Different reasons.
Yeah, but is there something them different reasons has got in common?
I can't speak for others. My own reasons center around A gradual loss of make-believe. That's all. A gradual enlightenment as to the nature of reality, of the world.
Them worldly reasons.
If you like.
Them elegant reasons.
That was your description.
You didn't disagree with it.
The professor shrugs.
It's them reasons that your brother don't know nothing about hanging by his necktie from the steam pipe down in the basement. He got his own dumbass reasons. But maybe if we could educate him to where some of them more elegant reasons was available to him and his buddies, then there'd be a lot of folks out there could off themselves with more joy in their hearts. What do you think?
Now I know you're being facetious.
This time I think you're right. I think you have finally drove me to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the professor's done gone to land the mm-hmms on me. I better watch my step.
Yes, you had. I might be warming up the trick bag.
But still, you think that your reasons is about the world, and his is mostly just about him.
I think that's probably true.
I see a different truth sitting right across the table from me.
Which is?
That you must love your brother or die.
I don't know what that means. That is another world from anything I know.
What's the world you know?
You don't want to hear.
Sure I do.
I don't think so.
Go ahead.
All right. It's that the world is basically a forced labor camp from which the workers, perfectly innocent, are led forth by lottery, a few each day, to be executed. I don't think that this is just the way I see it. I think it's the way it is. Are there alternate views? Of course. Will any of them stand close scrutiny? No.
Man.
So, do you want to take a look at that train schedule again?
And there ain't nothing to be done about it.
No. The efforts that people undertake to improve the world invariably make it worse. I used to think there were exceptions to that dictum. I don't think that now.
The black sits back, looking down at the table. He shakes his head slightly.
What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Them sounds to me like the words of a man on his way to the train station.
They are those words.
What do you think about that man?
I'm like you. I don't. I used to. Now I don't. I think about minimalizing pain. That is my life. I don't know why it isn't everyone's.
You don't think getting run over by a train might smart just a little?
No. I did the calculations. At 70 miles an hour, the train is outrunning the neurons. It should be totally painless.
I'm going to be stuck with your ass for a while, ain't I?
I hope not.
If this ain't the life you had in mind, what was?
I don't know. Not this. Is your life the one you'd planned?
No, it ain't. I got what I needed instead of what I wanted, and that's just about the best kind of luck you can have.
Yes, well.
You can't compare your life to mine, can you?
In all honesty, no, I can't.
Mm.
I'm sorry, I should go.
You don't have to go.
I've offended you.
I got a thicker hide than that, Professor. Just stay. You ain't hurt my feelings.
I know you think that I should be thankful, and I'm sorry not to be.
Now, Professor, I don't think no such a thing.
I should go.
I'm digging a dry hole here, ain't I?
I admire your persistence.
What can I do to get you to stay a bit?
Why, are you hoping that if I stay long enough that God might speak to me?
No, I'm hoping he might speak to me.
I know you think I at least owe you a little more of my time. I know I'm ungrateful. But ingratitude is not the sin to a spiritual bankrupt that it is to a man of God.
You don't owe me nothing, Professor.
Do you really think that?
Yes. I really do.
Well, you're very kind. I wish there was something I could do to repay you, but there isn't. So why don't we just say goodbye and you could get on with your life?
I can't.
You can't?
No.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Suppose you could wake up tomorrow and you wouldn't be wanting to jump in front of no train. Suppose all you had to do was asked, would you do it?
It would depend on what I had to give up.
I started to write that down and put it in my pocket.
What is it that you think I'm holding on to? What is it that the terminal commuter cherishes that he would die for?
I don't know. I don't know.
No.
You don't want to talk to me no more, do you?
I thought you had a thick skin.
It's pretty thick. It ain't hide to the bone.
Why do you think it? Why do you think there is something?
I don't know. It just seems to me that a man that can't wait for a train to run over him has got to have something on his mind. Most folks would settle for maybe just a slap upside the head. You say you don't care about nothing, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that death is ever about nothing. You ask me what I thought it was you was holding on to, and I got to say, I don't know. Or maybe I just don't have the words to say it. And maybe you know, but you ain't saying. But I believe that when you took your celebrated leap, you was holding on to it and taking it with you. Holding on for grim death. I look for the words, Professor. I look for the words because I believe that the words is the way to your heart.
You think that anyone in my position is automatically blind to the workings of his own psyche?
I think that anybody in your position is automatically blind. But that ain't the whole story. Because we still talking about the rest of them third railers and them taking one train and you taking another.
I didn't say that.
Sure you did. They got a train for all them dumbass crackers that just feels bad. And then they got this other train for you, because your pain and the world's pain is the same pain. And this train requires an observation car and a diner.
Well, you can think what you want. You don't need my agreement.
I know. But that ain't the way to the trick bag.
Well, the trick bag seems to have shaped itself up into some sort of communal misery where one finds salvation by consorting among the loathsome.
Damn, Professor. You're putting me in the bag. Where you come up with stuff like that?
It was phrased especially for you, for your enjoyment. You see what a whore I am?
No, you ain't. You a smart man. Too smart for me.
I feel the bag yawning.
I wish I knew how.
Do you really think that? That I'm too smart for you?
Yes, I do. If you can jack your own self around nine ways from Sunday, I'd like to know what chance you think I got.
I see.
What I need to do here is buy more time. But I don't know what to buy it with.
You don't know what to offer a man about to board the Limited?
No, I don't. I feel like I'm about traded out.
Maybe you are. Have you ever dealt with suicides?
No. You the first one. These junkies and crackheads is about as far from suicide as you can get. They wouldn't even know what you was talking about. They wake up in pain every day. Bad pain. But they ain't headed for the depot. Now, you can say, well, they got a fix for their pain. Just need to hustle on out there and get it. And that's a good argument. But still, we got this question. Just what is this pain that is causing these express riders to belly up at the kiosk with the black creep? What kind of pain we talking about? I got to say that if it was grief that brought folks to suicide, it'd be a full-time job just to get them all in the ground come sundown. So I keep coming back to the same question. If it ain't what you lost that is more than you can bear, then maybe it's what you won't lose. What you'd rather die than to give up.
But if you die, you will give it up.
No, you won't. You won't be here.
Well, I can't help you. Letting it all go is the place I finally got to. It took a lot of work to get there, and if there is one thing I would be unwilling to give up, it is exactly that.
You got any other way of saying that?
The one thing I won't give up is giving up. I expect that to carry me through. I'm depending on it. The things I believed in were very frail. As I said, they won't be around for long, and neither will I, but I don't think that's really the reason for my decision. I think it goes deeper. You can acclimate yourself to loss. You have to. I mean, you like music, right?
Yes, I do.
Who's the greatest composer you know of?
John Coltrane, hands down.
Do you think his music will last forever?
Well, forever's a long time, Professor, so I got to say no, it won't.
But that doesn't make it worthless, does it?
No, it don't.
You give up the world line by line, stoically. And then one day, you realize that your courage is farcical. It doesn't mean anything. You've become an accomplice in your own annihilation, and there is nothing you can do about it. Everything you do closes the door somewhere ahead of you. And finally, there is only one door left.
That's a dark world, Professor.
Yes.
What's the worst thing that ever happened to you?
Getting snatched off a subway platform one morning by an emissary of Jesus.
I'm serious.
So am I.
Before this morning, what was the worst thing?
I don't know.
Well, let's pretend you don't know then. Still, do you reckon it was about you or about somebody close to you?
Probably someone close to me.
I think that's probably right. Don't that tell you something?
Yes. Don't get close to people.
You a hard case, man.
How else could I win your love?
You're probably right. Let me try this. I don't believe that the world can be better than what you allow it to be. Darker world as you live in, there ain't gonna be a whole lot of surprises in the way of good news.
I'm sure that's true.
Well, jubilation. Listen, not the professor.
But I'm at a loss as to how to bring myself to believe in some most excellent world when I already know that it doesn't exist.
Most excellent.
Yes.
I sure do like that. Most excellent.
Do you actually believe in such a world?
Yes, I do, Professor. Yes, I do. I think it's there for the asking. You got to get in the right line. Buy the right ticket. Take that regular commuter train and stay off the express. Stay on the platform with your fellow commuter. You might even want to nod at him. Maybe even say hello. All of them is travelers too. And they's some of them been places that most people don't want to go to. They didn't either. They might even tell you how they got there and maybe save you a trip you'll be thankful you didn't take.
Yes, well, that's not going to happen.
Why not?
Because I don't believe in that world. I just want to take the train. Look, why don't I just go?
How about some more coffee?
No, thank you.
What can I do?
Maybe you just need to accept that you're in over your head.
I do accept it. It don't let me off the hook, though.
You think I don't understand, but I'm not sure you would want to listen to the things I do understand.
Try me.
It would just upset you.
I've been upset before.
It's worse than you think.
That's all right.
You don't want to hear this.
Yes, I do. I got no choice.
The professor leans back and studies the black.
Okay. Maybe you're right. Well, here's my news, Reverend. I yearn for the darkness. I pray for death, real death. If I thought that in death I would meet the people I've known in life, I don't know what I'd do. That would be the ultimate horror, the ultimate despair. If I had to meet my mother again and start all of that all over, only this time without the prospect of death to look forward to, well, that would be the final nightmare. Kafka on wheels.
Damn, Professor. You don't want to see your own mama?
No, I don't. I told you this would upset you. I want the dead to be dead. Forever. And I want to be one of them, except that, of course, you can't be one of them. You can't be one of the dead, because what has no existence can have no community. No community, my heart warms just thinking about it. Silence, blackness, aloneness, peace, and all of it only a heartbeat away.
Damn, Professor.
Let me finish. I don't regard my state of mind as some pessimistic view of the world. I regard it as the world itself. Evolution cannot avoid bringing intelligent life ultimately to an awareness of one thing above all else, and that one thing is futility.
Mm. If I'm understanding you right, you're saying that everybody that ain't just eat up with the dumbass ought to be suicidal?
Yes.
You ain't shitting me?
No, I'm not shitting you. If people saw the world for what it truly is, saw their lives for what they truly are, without dreams or illusions, I don't believe they could offer the first reason why they should not elect to die as soon as possible.
Damn, Professor.
I don't believe in God. Can you understand that? Look around you, man. Can't you see? The clamor and din of those in torment has to be the sound most pleasing to his ear, and I loathe these discussions. The argument of the village atheist whose single passion is to revile endlessly that which he denies the existence of in the first place. Your fellowship is a fellowship of pain and nothing more, and if that pain were actually collective instead of simply reiterative, then the sheer weight of it would drag the world from the walls of the universe and send it crashing and burning through whatever night it might yet be capable of engendering until it was not even ash. And justice? Brotherhood? Eternal life? Good God, man. Show me a religion that prepares one for death, for nothingness. There is a church I might enter. Yours prepares one only for more life, for dreams and illusions and lies. If you could banish the fear of death from men's hearts, they wouldn't live a day. Who would want this nightmare if not for fear of the next? The shadow of the axe hangs over every joy. Every road ends in death, or worse. Every friendship, every love, torment, betrayal, loss, suffering, pain, age, indignity, and hideous lingering illness, all with a single conclusion for you and for everyone and everything that you have chosen to care for. There's the true brotherhood. The true fellowship. And everyone is a member for life. You tell me that my brother is my salvation. My salvation, well then, damn him. Damn him in every shape and form and guise. do I see myself in him? Yes, I do. And what I see sickens me. Do you understand me? Can you understand me?
The black sits with his head lowered.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No. I'm sorry.
The black looks up at him.
How long have you felt like this?
All my life.
And that's the truth.
It's worse than that.
I don't see what could be worse than that.
Rage is really only for the good days. The truth is there's little of that left. The truth is that the forms I see have been slowly emptied out. They no longer have any content. They are shapes only. A train, a wall, a world, or a man. A thing dangling in senseless articulation in a howling void. No meaning to its life, its words. Why would I seek the company of such a thing? Why?
Damn.
You see what it is that you've saved.
Tried to say. Am trying. Trying hard.
Yes.
Who is my brother?
Your brother?
Yes.
Is that why I'm here? In your apartment?
No. But it's why I am.
You asked what I was a professor of. I'm a professor of darkness, the night in day's clothing. And now I wish you all the very best, but I must go.
He pushes back his chair and rises.
Just stay a few more minutes.
No. No more time. Goodbye.
He turns toward the door and the black rises.
Come on, Professor. We can talk about something else. I promise.
I don't want to talk about something else.
Don't go out there. You know what's out there.
Oh, yes. Indeed, I do. I know what is out there, and I know who is out there. I rush to nuzzle his bony cheek. No doubt he'll be surprised to find himself so cherished. And as I cling to his neck, I will whisper in that dry and ancient ear, here I am. Here I am. Now open the door.
Don't do it, Professor.
I'm sorry. You're a kind man. But I have to go. I've heard you out and you've heard me and there's no more to say. Your God must have once stood in a dawn of infinite possibility and this is what he's made of it. And now, it's drawing to a close. You say that I want God's love. I don't. Perhaps I want forgiveness, but there is no one to ask it of and there is no going back. No setting things right. Perhaps once. Not now. Now there is only the hope of nothingness. I cling to that hope. Now open the door. Please.
Don't do it.
Open the door.
The black undoes the chains. They rattle to the floor. He opens the door and the professor exits. The black stands in the doorway, looking down the hall.
Professor? I know you don't mean them words. Professor? I'm going to be there in the morning. I'll be there. You hear? I'll be there in the morning.
He collapses to his knees in the doorway.
I'll be there.
He looks up.
He didn't mean them words. You know he didn't. You know he didn't. I don't understand what you sent me down there for. I don't understand it. If you wanted me to help him, how come you didn't give me the words? You give them to him? What about me?
He kneels, rocking back and forth.
That's all right. That's all right. If you never speak again, you know I'll keep your word. You know I will. You know I'm good for it.
He lifts his head.
Is that okay? Is that okay?
The end. You've been listening to The Sunset Limited, a novel in dramatic form by Cormac McCarthy, narrated by Austin Pendleton as the voice of White and Ezra Knight as the voice of Black, with me, your host, Tom Stecksholte. This book was directed by Andy Paris. This book is copyrighted 2006 by M71 Limited. This recording is copyrighted 2010 by Recorded Books. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Recorded Books recommends Kings of the Earth by John Clinch, narrated by Richard Poe, with the author and actors from the Recorded Books Repertory Company. The edge of civilization is closer than we think. It's as close as a primitive farm on the margins of an upstate New York town where the three Proctor brothers live together in a kind of crumbling stasis. They linger like creatures from an older, wilder, and far less forgiving world, until one of them dies in his sleep and the other two are suspected of murder. Told in a chorus of voices that span a generation, Kings of the Earth examines the bonds of family and blood, faith, and suspicion that link not just the brothers, but their entire community. You'll find a wide selection of titles in the Recorded Books catalog, including bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. Call us toll-free or log on to recordedbooks.com to learn about our latest releases and special offers, order another recorded book, or to read author interviews and narrator profiles. Don't forget to ask about easy 30-day rentals by mail. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.